Year of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. I said 9. I was just taking a quick nap there, Michael. The ladies had me so upset I couldn't get a nap this afternoon. As we come to chapter 19, there's a whole lot going on. And let's look at verse 1 and see what all is involved. Revelation 19:1 says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah." Salvation, that's not hallelujah, that's hallelujah. You see that? "And salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." After these things is referring to the destruction of the great whore, the destruction of the apostate Catholic Church. And that took place in chapter 18. Moving into chapter 19, we are very limited by our English language. And this is what I was talking about this morning. We come to this vision of the last things. We see people from every language, every tribe, every dialect, every nation, and every culture. They are there in heaven, praising God. Now, unfortunately, as English-speaking people, we don't understand what is being said. When we get to heaven, we will understand all things. Because we shall be like him, Jesus, the people were saying, Alleluia. In the Hebrew tongue, this is a very special word, and I mentioned that this morning. It means praise ye Jah, capital J, capital A, capital H, or Jehovah. Jah is not a contraction of Jehovah, but it means he who is. He who is. You know, when we see that little phrase that God gave Jesus as a name, that God gave Moses as a name, I am that I am. It's a version of this. He who is. Jehovah means he who will be, is, and was. Now there's those three steps that we have been seeing throughout this book of Revelation. He who will be, future. He who is, present. And was, past tense. Jah implies as God being experienced. Jah implies as God being experienced as a present help. It means he's here right now. And that's the relationship that we have with him. You want to talk to God? Talk to God. He's there. He's available. It doesn't end with just his present help, but must include salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in the last chapter of Matthew, and I mentioned it at lunch. Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And what he was telling them was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he had the power of God upon him. Now, you have the Holy Spirit in you. We're not all necessarily filled with the Holy Spirit the whole time, but there will be times in your life, and I hope you've experienced them by now, but there will be times in your life when you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will take control of you. He will take over. He will fill this body that you are walking and living in. And you will be under his power for a short period of time, where he just takes over and gives you the ability to do what God needs for you to do right that minute. So that's something that we can all look forward to. And the more that happens, the more you're going to desire it. There are days when God does that with me here as I'm sharing the gospel with you. And when I get done, I feel like I have been under his power. And I hate that it stops. I do. And so I hope you experience this. If you don't, look for it. Look for it. Ask for it. God, here I am. Use me. And any way you want to. I'll be careful of what you pray for. He might do it. And if he does, you're going to have a blessing like you and an experience like you've not experienced before. But at this point, all of the redeemed of all time are gathered here in heaven. They're there to observe the end of time. Not quite yet going to be over, but they're all there to observe and to be invited to, and you already have your invitation, but you haven't experienced it yet. You have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, folks, that's going to be something. Weddings in different parts of the world are put on in different ways. I know Muslim weddings, they go all out. The family buys everything they can afford to put on a big meal for everyone. And they will put out all kinds of meats that they are familiar with and eating, and some are very special. In this country, we eat lobster. The Muslims don't eat lobster because it's a scavenger. And so they don't eat it. They kill lobsters and throw them up on the shore in a pile when the fishermen come in and the lobsters are tangled up in their nets. And so when we lived in Turkey, I would go to the fishing villages when a particular boat would come in and they would let me take all the live lobsters out of their nets. And then we would have a Turk further down the beach with half a barrel cut in two, a 55-gallon drum, and he would be boiling water in it. And we would take him bushels of lobsters, and he would boil them for us, and we would lay there on the beach all day eating a lobster. So, but that's the Americans, okay? But the Muslims, they put out all kinds of food, things that they eat normally, and some things that they would consider a delicacy. And I went to a wedding of a friend of mine. He was Muslim, and after the meal, I sat beside him. He was the groom. I sat beside him at the meal, and when we were all done, he said, "Do you know what you ate?" And I said, "No," and he said, "Well, you know what this was?" And "No," and he said, "It was, how you say, bah. Yeah, it was sheep, and mutton, you know." I said, "Okay." And he said, "You know what this was?" And "No." And he said, "That was, how you say, moo. It was cow." And so that was all right. And he said, "Do you know what this was?" And I said, "No." And he said, "It was horse." And so then he asked about another thing. He said, "Do you know what this was?" I had "No." And he said, "It was camel." And it was good. And he finally reached for it, drove to this last dish of meat, and he said, "You know what this was?" And I said, "No, I can't imagine." I went through my mind, what else would they eat? And he said, "It was, how you say, arf, arf, puppy. So, but the marriage supper of the Lamb, folks, is going to be the most spectacular meal you will ever be invited to. And you already have your invitation. You already have your invitation. It's written on your heart. Written on your heart. You're going to be there. You're going to be the guest. So, the redeemed of all time will be gathered there. Moses will be there. All of the Old Testament redeemed people will be there. They have come to the end of their battle, and they are invited as part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So let's look at the next verse, Revelation 19:2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, in the previous chapter, chapter 18, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Now that's spiritual fornication, folks. And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. All Christians who suffer persecution, all Christians who suffer martyrdom will eventually be God will take vengeance for them. In chapter 5, we saw the souls of those who were killed during the tribulation under the altar. And they were saying, how long, Lord, before you take, you know, vengeance upon us? And he said, just be still. There's more that have got to be harvested yet. So, witnesses are doing nothing but praising Jesus at this event for who he is. And folks, that should be our attitude. We should be constantly praising Jesus for who he is and what he has done. And by the way, folks, he has done it all. We have done nothing. We can do nothing. He's done it all. He and no one else is involved, but it's not over yet. God is very jealous of his family, and he will not let anyone or any power go unpunished, particularly if they pick upon his people. For their misconduct against the family of God is going to be dealt with at some point by God. The family praises him, that's us, for all that he does for them. The apostate church has been dealt with, but there's still other enemies out there that need attending to. You see, just the Catholic Church or the apostate church is not the only enemy God has. God has a lot of enemies. And folks, as a Christian, more and more you're going to learn about some of these enemies because they're going to begin persecuting you. They're going to make attempts to persecute you. Actually, there's an attempt going on right now to close the church. Yes, our government is attempting right now to close the Christian church, to make it of none effect. And we don't know about it because it's being done secretly. It's being done behind closed curtains. But it's coming. It's coming. Revelation 19:3. And again they said, Alleluia, praise ye Jah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's the smoke of the apostate church, the great whore. Praise the one who is. 19:4-5. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia, praise ye Jah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. There's only one thing that anyone can do in the presence of God, folks. Get used to it. That's praise him. That's the only thing we can do in his presence. You must praise and worship him. Even those in hell will praise and worship him. Even the people in hell will worship and praise God. What a thought. Why couldn't they have done that in life? Then they wouldn't be in hell. Now we come to an event to which we have all been invited. Revelation 19, verses 6 and 7. And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude, of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, praise ye Jah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, we don't do a very good job while we're still alive on this earth. It's not until we get off this earth, as we go through this process we call death, that we can prepare ourselves. Because prior to doing that, we all have a sin nature. It's here somewhere inside of us. And because of that sin nature, we don't have the strength, we don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had. And so we sin. We do. Doesn't mean we have to, but it means we do sin. And when we sin, there is something that is very necessary. We're going to address it at another time regarding the Holy Spirit, but contrition. That word contrition is such a surprise. It means sorrow for sin, sorrow for doing the wrong thing. And there are people, Christians, who are not really sorry for a particular sin. They'd enjoyed it, and they'll do it again, knowing that it is a sin against God. Now, we have come to this . How about every soul that ever was saved by faith? How many souls do you think that'll be? That's all of the Old Testament people. That's Noah. That's others. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All those people. They will be in heaven. They are being saved by faith, believing in God. They will be there waiting for us when we get there. And this will be a huge multitude. You have people you know who have gone on. I know Connie has gone on ahead of me. I will recognize her, but the relationship that we've had on this earth will no longer exist. Because I will forget, and so will you, everything that happened to you here on this earth, other than being saved. Because if you remembered the people on this earth, for some you might be sorry that you injured them in some way. Offended them in some way. And rather than have any sorrow in heaven, God takes away our memory. Now we recognize him, but we don't recognize the relationship. And that's difficult for me to understand or to even comprehend. But every soul that has ever been saved, ever, will be there. Millions and millions of souls praising Jesus, and the Heavenly Father approving of the praise with his thunder. With his thunder. This is going to be a time of celebration in heaven when we are told that the bride hath made herself ready. That would mean that all the souls were no longer in the flesh, but in their spirit. But in their mortal bodies, they will be in their immortal bodies and free of sin. The bride is properly adorned at this point with the righteousness of Jesus and is ready for the marriage supper. Verse 8. For to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, the righteousness of Christ, clean and white. At this point, I want you to notice this. This is important. For the fine linen, which up to now has been the righteousness of Christ, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Of saints. There's going to be a day when you will truly be righteous. You will truly be righteous. You will have no sin. You'll have no stains of sin on you. You will just be there for one reason, and that is to praise God. The sin will be gone. It's going to go away with this old flesh. And we are going to have righteousness that Christ gave us, and now it is our righteousness. Bible says so right here, the righteousness of the saints. Now I want to be sure that you notice this fact. While we live on earth, you and I don't have any righteousness. But by the time we get to heaven with the Lord, the sinful part of us is gone. Isn't that fantastic? The sinful part of us is gone. And we do have a righteousness of our own through Jesus. Jesus gives us his righteousness. And Jesus sanctifies us. And he gives us all that we need to adorn ourselves in response to his call. He will have prepared us to be that bride. Revelation 19:9. And he saith unto me, that's the angel who's talking to John, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. In this ninth verse, he refers to the angel that's talking to John. And one thing very special to John is to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all of you will be called if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're going to be called. Everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life will also be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb to qualify for one is to qualify for both. If you're in the Lamb's book of life, you are going to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you are going to be called to the marriage of the Lamb. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And that's going to be our normal response. If Jesus Christ walked in here today, there wouldn't be anybody sitting in a chair, I would hope. We'd all be doing face plants in the carpet. We ought to get it cleaned for that purpose, I guess. But anyway, God, that will be our response. We'll be worshiping everybody. And I fell to his feet to worship him, and he said to me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There's only one person, and that's God. All parts of him, all three parts of him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are the only ones that we are to worship. Not our spouse, nobody on this earth, just him. From this passage in Scripture, we get the idea that John wanted to worship someone for calling him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. John wanted to thank somebody. If somebody does something good for you, don't you want to thank them? What if you don't know who they are? What if you don't know who they are? How are you going to thank them? You're going to have to live your life thanking everybody. I've shared with you before, when we were in Texas ministering at the camp, Connie came down with breast cancer. It was found out that she had breast cancer. We had no money, we had no insurance, we had no income. And the hospital said, okay, we've got to have a $500 deposit before we even consider doing surgery. We've got to have another $500 deposit. The surgeon's going to have that before she does a biopsy. I had two guns. I had a 9mm and I had a 12-gauge shotgun. And I sold them both, and they gave me $1,000 for the two of them. $500 for the hospital, $500 for the surgeon. We went through the surgery. It was cancer. They did what they needed to do. And the surgery was involved. It was many thousands of dollars. And we had no way to pay it, but we knew we had to contact them and see what we could set up to try and start. And when we got, before we could call them, we got an invoice. It had all been paid but $1,800. Tens of thousands of dollars had been paid. 2 weeks later, we got another invoice. It was $1,100. More had been paid, another $700. 2 weeks after that, we got an invoice for $25. And we had $25 in our checking account. And we rejoiced. We really did. We rejoiced as we wrote out that check, put a stamp on it, and put it in the mail. And 2 weeks later, the hospital sent that check back because somebody had paid it before they got our check. Amen. Folks, that's God. That's God interceding for his children because his children were doing what he had asked them to do. And folks, he has something for each one of us to do. And if you want that kind of a relationship with him, do it. Do it. God is such a big God. He owns the cattle. When it says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owns the cattle on 10,000 hills. He owns them all. John fell at his feet to worship him because he was blessing John. He was taking care of him. We fell on our faces before God. You have to, folks. You have to. You have to realize who he is. And he doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the same God you're talking to tonight when you go home and pray before you go to bed. That's the same God. From this passage of Scripture, we get the idea that John wanted to worship someone for calling him to that marriage supper. And the problem was that no one was part of the activity that would be deserving of worship other than God. John was at this point caught up in the activities that everyone else was involved in. He was going to the marriage supper. All worship belongs to God. Revelation 19:11. Here's part that I like. I like this chapter. And I saw heaven open. That's John. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So the scene changes. John has been in heaven. He's been seeing the preparations made for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now the scene changes. John is still in heaven looking down on earth. John can see the earth because the heaven has been opened. And Jesus comes into view riding a white horse. Jesus is identified by his appearance. He's the only one who can be called faithful and true. His purpose is to judge the inhabitants of the earth and to make war with those who have the mark of the beast upon them. There's more to this description. Chapter 12, verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He knew, he knows even now who he is. We only have a glimpse of him. And our glimpse involves his hanging on the cross, paying for our sin. But he is more than that. He is much more than that. To the sinner, the eyes of Jesus appear as a flame of fire. We've seen him with that description before. Fire for purifying the sinful soul. Fire melts out the dross. When they want to refine gold, they put it over fire. Melts it. The dross comes to the top. It's skimmed off. It takes but a look from Jesus to purify our souls. The many crowns upon his head are the true authority and property of the King of Kings. Remember, that's who he is, the King of Kings. He deserves those crowns. And he's also Lord of Lords. The papal tria has but three diadems upon it. That's this thing he wears upon his head. It has three diadems upon it. The dragon has just 10 crowns upon his 7 heads. And all of creation comes short of the magnificence of the knowledge that Jesus has a name that is unknown by the temporal world. We don't know today what that name is. But when we are in heaven with him, we will know it. Because we will be like him. We will know all things. Now this next verse is one of my favorites in the book of Revelation. Revelation 19:13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Folks, that's Jesus. That's Jesus Christ, the Word of God. No pretense here. Jesus is the only one in the entire Bible who can wear these garments and this name. There is no one else in the Bible, of all the people, all the characters that are there, that can wear that garment and that name. That's his blood on that garment, by the way. They remind us of the price that he paid for our souls. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. He bought me back from Satan. He bought you back from Satan. And he gave me back to God, and he's given you back to God, your souls. He did the same thing for all of us. This verse is as exciting to me as John 1, 1 through 4. I love the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We're here tonight, folks, to celebrate Jesus. Jesus is not alone when he comes back. When he comes back to the earth, as we are reading here in this 19th chapter, let's look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven, and look around, folks, we're part of them. We're part of them. And the armies which were with him in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. By the time we make heaven, folks, we don't have to worry about sin anymore. We were given a hint that this was going to be happening in chapter 17, verse 14. Let's look at that verse, Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, with him, not against him. And the Lamb shall overcome them. That was a mistake. These shall make war with the Lamb. They will attack him. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Folks, we will be the called. We will be the chosen. We will be the faithful. We will be the ones sitting on those white horses. Revelation 19, 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. All the power in the world is contained in this book. You've got it in your lap. You've got the power of God laying on a table someplace at your house or a nightstand or somewhere. The power of God. You have trouble? You need something? It's in here. God wants us to know this. God wants us to use this. He didn't give it to you to put in a frame or put in a glass box. He gave it to you to put in your heart, to put in your mind. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's why he gave it to us. God's word will determine a soul's destiny. God's word will determine a soul's destiny, whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell. What have they done with the word? It tells us what we have to do. You must be born again. Whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. It's in the book, folks. There's nothing more powerful than God's word. In the great white throne judgment, which will be in next week's message, chapter 20, in the great white throne judgment, it's the word and what is done with it that will make all of the difference to those who stand in judgment. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. King of Kings. Folks, it's all in capital letters. And Lord of Lords. He is the one. He is the Supreme One. The whole world will know who he is. He wears his name on his clothing. This name will even the devil respect. He made the devil. The devil has been his enemy for all of time. But it's coming to an end. Verses 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. The birds from all over the world are invited to come to Jerusalem. The turkey buzzards you see flocking around, the groups of them you see sitting beside the road having breakfast of softened possum. Or other animals. They're going to go to Jerusalem. The birds are invited to come and clean up. You know why he's inviting the birds to come? Because after this event, there will be no men to clean up, only the animals. There'll be no men to bury corpses. They will have to be eaten. Yeah, that's why he's inviting them. We got three more verses and we're done with this chapter. And I saw the beast, the one who rose up out of the sea, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant, all the other people, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. His army coming with him from heaven will not have to do one thing but watch. We will not have to be a part of this but watch. Jesus does it all. We are just there to watch Jesus win. And folks, that ends chapter 19. Any questions? Any comments? Father, thank you for what you have shown us. Thank you for what you are going to do. And Father, because you have said it, it will be done. Because it is written in your word. And your word is truth. It will be done. Father, we are being told about it now. I don't know whether we'll remember it or not, but Father, I do know that we will witness it when the time comes. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making us a part of this. Thank you that there is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you that there is going to be a war, and all wickedness and sin will be wiped out. Thank you, Father. Help us to continue to understand the things that you have ahead for us, that we might praise you and worship you. You are Jah, and Father, we do worship you as him. Thank you. Be with each one as they go to their homes and their destinations tonight. Take them there safely. Preserve each one of us that we may see these things come to pass. And we will praise you because you're going to do it all. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.